This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Gilmore Tea Vibe here on Cliff Central, where we give you all things Zimbabwe. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. Central African Time. That's actually our new time slot. We were 2 p.m. before, now we are 1 p.m. So remember that during your lunchtime, you can actually sit and listen to the show and live stream on www.cliffcentral.com. And of course, you can partake in the conversation via social media platforms. That's your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagrams, by merely using the hashtag GTEE Vibe, and Twitter handles at Gilmore TEE, at Cliff Central, and of course at Umelapi. But for now, let's talk them. Zimbabwe had a few things unfolding, actually a few events happening in Zimbabwe and on social media with topics such as Jonathan Moyo trending, Mugabe trending, you know, after retiring or after a leaving position, the former president of Zimbabwe is still trending in Zimbabwe. I wonder why. And we also have topics such as Kukula Hondi trending. Sorry, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You have a cold in summer.
Yeah.
And you keep passing it to us, your viruses, your germs.
I'm not contagious.
But I just caught it now because I also can feel it.
Yeah, you play too close.
I play too close.
Yeah.
Jonathan May has been trending, I think, since Thursday, which is just yesterday, and it's trending he was trending the whole day yesterday. This morning he was trending also, and then the whole day again he's still trending. So Zimbabwe's former Minister of Higher Tertiary Education, Science and Technology Development, Jonathan Moyo, featured on BBC. And apparently to a lot of people that were crying on social media, he came out representing Zimbabweans and talking on behalf of these citizens that have gone through the most for years. How dare?
Yeah, I think that was very silly.
Yeah.
Or presumptuous. Let's use proper words.
presumptuous. But silly is a word too.
Yeah, well, like, I don't think I can go about calling people, grown people, silly.
All right.
But now, for Jonathan Moyo he didn't disclose his whereabouts.
Uh-huh.
He asked the BBC not to disclose his whereabouts.
All right.
For his own security reasons.
Okay. So he's also in. Is he in danger?
He claims.
They are looking for him to arrest him.
The interviewer, mm-hmm. Zaine Badawi, kept asking,
mm-hmm.
"Are you in danger? Mm-hmm. Has there been threats on your life?"
Uh-huh.
And he was cleverly dodging the question, not answering it really.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, he did say he's out of the country because he mentioned he went out of the country legally.
All right. So he didn't go illegally, he actually went legally.
That's what he claims.
So if he was in danger, then was he going to go legally? Because they could have just stopped him or arrested him if he was on a wanted list.
Exactly. So his story has a few, you know, leaking points here and there. And yet he still is that presumptuous, or, you know, is that arrogant as to assume he can still be the voice of Zimbabweans.
Yeah, because a lot of people were really not excited with him trying to represent all the citizens in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, no, because he goes on to say people are asking, you know, the whereabouts. People want to know the whereabouts of Robert. Who wants to know
I saw a
where
tweet.
Robert Mugabe is right now?
I saw a tweet saying, who wants to know where their elders are?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
No one cares.
So there's a couple of tweets, interesting tweets,
mm-hmm.
that people put up.
Mm.
One by at Grace Mudandwa, one.
You're going to say Grace Mugabe.
said that Jonathan Moyo and Patrick Joao actually believe that Zimbabweans miss Mugabe,
yeah.
and that they are sad that he was pushed out.
Uh-huh.
The reality is that not only did we want Mugabe out, we also wanted and still want ZANU-PF out.
Uh-huh.
We don't care which faction you belong to.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
That's one tweet.
Uh-huh.
By Grace, who is supposedly not Mugabe.
Of course.
you've got Ed Zim Media Review saying the last time Jonathan Moyo was on BBC Hard Talk 2015, he was asked about Itai Dzamara. He said people disappear every day.
Mm-hmm.
We have quite some porous borders.
Mm.
Today he was back on BBC Talk ranting and raving about being in exile.
But then also, that's also careless speaking of him to say people disappear every day, like they are chickens or they are bears that just disappear.
Yeah, I mean, that was really, you know, Jonathan has always been careless at the mouth.
No way. No.
You know, and then we've got one by at Resurrect Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Moyes' hard talk interview exposed him to be a man who is delusional and in denial.
Mm.
He claimed new government, a banana republic, doesn't adhere to the constitution. Three, violent. But so was Mugabe's government for over 37 years. And there's one that I particularly like by Fadzai Mahere, you know, Advocate Mahere.
The advocate. Oh, she's also like campaigning to be an MP, right?
No, she's also campaigning to be an MP somewhere.
Somewhere.
Lovely young lady. I don't know if she's young, right?
Yeah, like she's supposed to be young. Yeah.
She's young.
As long as she's below 40 in Zimbabwe, you're young.
You're young, even if you're above 40. Yeah, Fadzai Mahere goes on to say, where was Professor Jonathan Moyo when his junta subverted the will of the people and ensured another term from Mugabe in 2008. Does his brand of constitutionalism only kick in when it favors Mugabe?
Yes.
He approbates and reprobates, pontificating on principles he only half understands.
Okay,
that's advocate language.
I was going to ask, what does that actually mean? I read a tweet from Gilbert Nyambavu who says, this claim by Jonathan Moyo that Zimbabweans are demanding to know what happened to Mugabe. Which Zimbabweans, though? Could they be Zimbabweans who still don't know what happened to the elder? So, I mean, that was him, but you watched more of the interview. What was he actually saying?
Nothing much. He kept going around in circles. He kept trying to, you know, expose this new Mnangagwa government to be, you know, a junta. This is a coup. They are unconstitutional. They didn't get into power through constitutional means or by the ballot. They got into power by the bullet. He even went on to say them, Mnangagwa, President Mnangagwa, and Vice President Chiwenga visiting opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai, they were going to propose to delay elections.
Or were they?
Well, that's, we don't know. That's said. What he claims.
Okay.
You know, that's what he claims. So, yeah, I mean, he was really out to, because he was being asked about a lot of corruption charges. Zainab also went all the way to asking about these press claims that he's also wanted in Kenya.
Oh, Jonathan Moyo is wanted in Kenya?
Yes, there was an article in the Daily News about him being wanted in Kenya. Don't ask
for
me
what?
About what.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want to be implicated in knowing this thing. But he denied it. He said, oh, those are false accusations, you know, and all that type of stuff. And he kept dodging a lot of questions. And I feel like they really did. Because if one of the questions I was going to ask if I had a chance to interview Jonathan Moyo is he's one person whose parents were killed within Kukrahundi.
Yes,
right.
Which is what I'm going to talk about just soon after this.
Yes, and then how is it that he himself then goes and saves the orchestrator of Kukrahundi in the persona of Mugabe?
Maybe it was for his own personal gain, I guess.
But the way he was talking on this interview, like, Mugabe is the only legitimate president. I mean, these guys have not. He admitted it on his own Twitter after they were thrown out. That they, even the government in 2008, they did a coup.
The so meaning we never had a legitimate government
been
since 2008.
Since 2008.
For a decade we didn't have a legitimate.
We didn't have
government.
A legitimate. They knew that. And today he's
so
the one
why
wants
speaking
to point
about now?
Fingers.
He's a child. You touched on Kukrahundi. Kukrahundi has been trending on social media, and there's been talks in Harare, and that just happened yesterday, Thursday, and then this Friday evening, just maybe later on, we should be attending that.
Yes.
We're going to have a talk in Bulawayo, which is the second largest city of Zimbabwe. Basically, we're trying to just bring about the reconciliation and talk about Kukrahundi. Do you think we're actually going to go anywhere with that?
We should go somewhere. This is something that's been long overdue.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that this new government is compensating whites, white farmers, were, you know, not very well treated during the land reform.
Yes.
The third Chimurenga.
Chimurenga.
Yes, the third Chimurenga. So, I mean, there was a lot of talk about, okay, the third Chimurenga is a more recent thing, 2000s, that about 2003, you know. And Kukuraundi is an older issue.
Mm-hmm,
83.
And we never dealt with it.
And we never dealt with
we're
it.
Dealing
how
with the
are we
farmers?
Keeping it?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, still, all the years, ever since Kukuraundi happened, you've had people coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had organizations working with people and people, activists coming out, taking people to court. Is the Mtwakazi, the guys who got arrested now. It's not the first time.
But what are the claims for arrest this time though?
This time around they went to the church service that happened in Bulawayo, where the president was at.
Oh, the president came down.
Yeah, the president came down to Bulawayo to attend the church service. Must have been a hell of a church service.
But they have been attending church
exactly.
services.
I mean, I think their campaign has begun. It's rolling out slowly.
Yeah, and they're going
reaching
everywhere.
Out to people, they are going everywhere. Mm. So these guys, Mtwakazi Republic guys, were not making noise. They were just holding up placards, some of them reading, I'm paraphrasing here, deal with Kukuraundi, or blah, blah, those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And they were arrested for that, you know, and taken into custody, taken to army barracks, taken to a police station.
Mm.
And I was reading an article of one lady who was claiming, you know, the whole shock and everything. She got into a whole menstrual cycle and they wouldn't let her, you know, use menstrual pads and things like that.
Really?
It's really nasty.
So, but then it's still, isn't that like, it's going back to that, because I'm reading a tweet now from Colin Shibango who said, the victims, actually it's not him, Sipho Malunga, who's a speaker there, who was a speaker yesterday in Harare at the Kukuraundi talks, says the victim's voice is missing from the Kukuraundi narrative. We must create conditions for their voices to be heard. So he said, and it's the same situation now. You're saying if someone has refused to actually make use of, you know, a private space, what are we doing about it?
Yeah,
like, are we just not suppressing the same way we've been suppressing?
No, but now that's the thing, is the ZANU-PF government or the ZANU-PF party has always had suppressive methods.
Yeah,
you know, whatever voice of dissent, whatever voice that challenges their course of action gets suppressed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not ignored. It's not, you know, debated against. It's suppressed. You know, you have men in suits, you know, moving in your direction and things like that. So, I mean, that's how it's always been. And I don't think they are ready to throw that.
That power, or just to actually have the discussion?
No, I mean to throw that away. Right now they are going to have the discussion, because I was reading somewhere where Mnangagwa seems to have allowed the Truth and Healing and Truth Commission you know, to be formed and signed it off.
But is it me, or I feel like all these things are just campaigns? Because obviously he knows, as the president, he knows that one of the most important issue to address is the Kukuraundi, and by talking about it now, it in a way it favors him and it puts him in the good position. Because I've been hearing a lot of people on the street saying, Prem Tarana is actually working, meaning that man is actually working. But at the same time, I hear there were chaos in Harare yesterday.
But he is working.
He is working. Yes.
Just 2 days ago, was it? No, yesterday. Just yesterday, I was reading a tweet by the Undersecretary of the Commonwealth after a meeting with Foreign Minister S.B. Moyo. You know, about re-engaging Zimbabwe into the international community, and you know, Zimbabwe beginning to work with the Commonwealth again.
Okay.
And this is the undersecretary then hashtagging new perspectives and things like that.
Oh, nice.
It's not even SB Moyo who put that out. It's not even a Zimbabwean. It's the Commonwealth who are now putting that out there. And they done a selfie, the undersecretary, and another woman. They didn't write her name, but there was the foreign minister.
So meaning he's working.
He's working.
So I mean, we should not put that under the carpet that he's actually making an effort.
Yeah, he actually, we should acknowledge he's working.
All right.
Which is another thing that I think is a tricky scenario now for us. You know, the people who've pointed a finger, I'm one of them. I wasn't ready to see my perpetrator, my oppressor,
work and fix
my problems.
I think also we've been in a very abusive relationship as Zimbabweans, that when all these things are happening, we're not yet ready for it. I think we thought we were ready for these things, but actually when you look at it, when you go and you get a service, like you said, the company registration, and then they tell you it's 24 hours, it's still shocking to us that you go to a place and things are happening and things are faster and things are sort of like evolving. I think we're just not yet ready. We need like some orientation to happen to us.
Orientation and all. But again, as I'm saying, my oppressor. See, people, as much as people have disliked Robert Mugabe, people, a lot of people in Matabele have blamed Mnangagwa for Kukurahundi and a lot of these atrocities. Because he seemingly was at some point Robert Mugabe's too.
Yes.
And he's been the oppressor. He's been somebody that people dislike. You know,
a lot of
And now, this is the same guy who is fixing my problems, our problems, bit by bit. Yes, I don't know. I'm not saying he's fixed everything. Or he's even
but
he
is
fixed,
trying his best.
But he's actually moving in a direction.
Positive direction,
and it's shocking. I don't think I'm ready to see that. I don't think I'm ready
so
to see, you know, my oppressor, my enemy, actually fix my issues. You see?
Yeah. No, I mean, we need to acknowledge him. I mean, he's trying his best.
He's working
to the World Economic Forum in Davos, and for many years, our former president Robert Mugabe could not actually go and attend.
At some point in a certain year, he was denied an invite.
He was, yeah.
Yes,
but he has attended the regional one in Durban, but then the Davos one is never. And Emmerson Mnangagwa is actually going there, and he's in attendance right now,
which is positive.
Positive for the country.
He's hopeful for the country.
Very
it's positive.
Hopeful.
Yeah.
Ah.
And seemingly, one of the things I was touching with Jonathan Moore interview is the international community seems to be willing to work with Mnangagwa.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you claim, Jonathan Moore, that they are unconstitutional, blah, 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 all these things, the international community seems to be willing to work with this government.
No, they are. Listen, if you're listening and you want to take part in this conversation, make sure you use the hashtag GTWE vibe. We need to take a breather, and we want sorry to get some water, some warm water. Maybe his voice can clear or his nose can clear. So make sure you tweet us at clipcentral.com and at GilmoreTWE and also at Umelapi. We'll be back soon after this. Oh, we are back. So we are talking about titles and the culture of worshipping them today, and would love to hear from you, obviously, and what you think about this. But then it always raises questions when I look at people with titles, like, why do we do so much bootlicking to them, and just what happened to servant leadership? Because when you elect someone into position, it means they're supposed to serve you as a person, but then it's the other way around. They want us to worship them. They want us to bootlick them, or maybe it's us who like doing that to the people. I have no idea where we stand. So we have examples such as for example, now we have the first lady. It doesn't mean just because she's married to the president automatically she's supposed to have some like a strong voice. She's just an individual.
She becomes absolute.
And she becomes like all of a sudden she goes into a place and whatever that she says is put into government into consideration, like the recent visits that she had at Bilo Hospital. And she said something and all of a sudden it's taken into consideration by the Minister of Health, but she doesn't work for the Minister of Health.
Is she qualified
you know
in that regard as a health expert,
no,
as an administrator of a health institute, to make changes in that regard. I don't think so. I think we have a huge problem right there as a country.
So it's a national issue actually that we have.
Yeah, I mean it plays out in a lot of scenarios that do not have to do as per se with the first lady. You know, as soon as somebody holds a particular position, they seem to have assumed a certain power.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
They are not challenged. Their views, or regardless of how wrong they are, their actions are not questioned.
No one challenges them at all.
You know, and that's like people bootleg. You know, I mean, but I think it's there everywhere in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
In the world, including
in
places
Hollywood.
Like Hollywood, you know, where if you are not in certain good books with a particular producer,
you
know, you don't get
you
jobs.
Won't go anywhere.
You know, you have these sex scandals going around nowadays. Harvey Weinstein being an exec producer and you know, abusing so many women just so that they can get certain parts in films. And these are just innocent people who are trying to survive, who are trying to make it, you know, who are trying to go about, you know, exercising or doing this, and suddenly you have this barrier in there. So these positions that are there, I think it's made to look like it's an African problem.
Yeah, but it's a global issue.
I think it's there globally.
Because when you bring it home, sorry to cut you, when you bring it home, you have this issue of musicians even crying foul, saying that they're not getting any airplay on radio because the presenters and producers, they also feel the power. Like, I'm the one who can plug you in for millions of people to hear your song. So you find that there's also this whole issue of they have the power and you have to worship them by either paying them or being nice to them or never questioning why they play certain things or why they do certain things on their radio stations. Like you said, it's just not it's not even an African thing. I mean, it happens in Hollywood, but I was just trying to bring it back home.
Yes, definitely.
We have these examples happening in them.
Yeah, I mean, I think largely it's a case of people just abusing whatever authority, whatever position that they've had, and people who are also now victims of that end up allowing that abuse to continue in all these instances. If you're going to talk about radio, TV, going to talk about all these where jobs are concerned. Yes, there are certain people who can't help it. If somebody is being sexually abused and it's going on, that's evidence, that's proof that they're in that situation and they can't help it. But for those scenarios that we actually I think we allow to happen, for those scenarios where it's a radio DJ, it's a radio producer, it's a politician, it's somebody who's gotten a job at the Ministry of Arts and stuff like that, and now their bad habits and all that are prevailing, you know.
But we also give them power. I think once someone also is the type, we give them power. I won't mention names, but there's a particular individual who is in a good position in the arts sector.
Yes.
And they happen to have products, and their products are constantly put as faces everywhere by some other people, and that's a way of just bootlicking them, and they get funding.
That's actually a way of putting in an issue into the show and not actually divulging.
No, I can't. I mean, it's just an example that I would not like.
This is the problem. This is the exact problem that we're talking about, where people are not being challenged because of their positions, because of their authority. You are actually giving this particular person power right now.
I'm giving them power.
You are giving.
So I'm supposed to be mentioning people's names.
You are supposed to be calling people out.
No, listen. I had a conversation. I'm gonna quickly run away from this. I had a conversation with a certain colleague of mine, and he was talking about how he used to constantly go to church all the time, and he was very much involved in church. But when he was involved in the church, he would do things so to make the pastor happy, the head pastor or whatever you call them, happy. But he said as time passed by, he realized that actually himself he was not happy at all. And the moment he quit going to that church, that pastor that he was doing things to satisfy said that you've lost everything, you are now out of the way, you're now in the wilderness. But he said the pastor was saying that to him, and he lost all respect from the people around because the pastor said that to him. But himself, he felt so good of leaving that space because he didn't feel productive at all. So it even goes into the churches, these issues of titles. No one is going to question a pastor why the pastor is wearing shiny suits, or why the pastor Mboro is spraying people with doom, or why the pastor is touching, is, you know, Mboro has got this thing apparently where he watches people having sex and then he records them. No one is going to question that because he's in a position, and we tend to respect our pastors, we tend to respect our elders. Where do we draw the line, though?
I think respect, the moment respect becomes fear.
So it's fear.
It then becomes another thing.
Mm.
And the moment that fear is coupled by a certain level of ignorance.
Yeah.
Because as human beings, I like to think we know what's wrong and what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that you allow somebody to invade that personal space of yours in the name of, you know, attaining some divine, you know, intervention, or some, you know, being deduced and deciphered divinely.
You're sounding like a guy
whose name is called Mboro.
But in South Africa, Mboro, they don't even know what it means. But to us, that's like, Mboro is basically your penis. That's what they're saying. So it's called Pastor Penis. In Zimbabwe, it's called Pastor Penis. And already for us, we won't even have so much respect towards him. Maybe fear that he will penetrate some of our people in church.
I mean, yo, that guy is really penetrating spiritual levels.
So, I mean, this issue of title is really like it's deep.
Yeah, because as soon as somebody is a pastor, as soon as somebody is a politician, as soon as somebody is a CEO, as soon as somebody is a policeman,
mm-hmm.
you know, suddenly we have this thing of you know, author. Even my daughter's school, my daughter goes to a primary school where, you know, the teachers and people there are so.
You actually have a daughter?
I've got two daughters.
Oh, you can produce? Anyway, you're saying?
The teachers there are so arrogant. They're so, you know, terrible towards parents. I had a hard time getting, you know, my elder daughter goes to this primary school.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to name it?
Yes. Well, yes, because I'm not going to give people power.
Like I did.
Coghlan Primary School. It's called Coghlan Primary. It's a nice school. Coghlan Primary School. It's an all-girls school. So my elder daughter goes there.
Mm.
And last year I had to find a place for my 3-4-year-old, yes, mm-hmm. going to grade 0. I had a hard time
because they are in power, they have the
decision. And the arrogance they had. Mm. I went all the way from the teacher in charge all the way to the headmistress, and the arrogance, the arrogance, the people, you know, I really had to go there about 9-10 times. That wasn't beef until eventually, you know, they were like, you know, they realize we are not shaking this guy off.
Yeah.
Because for me, it didn't make sense that
but
one of my daughters goes there and then the other one has to go to another school.
Yeah.
You know, they are, because they assume this. I remember one meeting and this teacher is saying, you know, everybody wants to come to Coghlan. Everybody wants, like, how you even speak to people like that?
Yeah.
We are suddenly everybody who want to come to also fancy school.
Mm.
And for me, it's not because I'm going to a fancy school. It's in my zone, my jurisdiction. It's a school
that's just nearby also.
Nearby where I live.
Yeah.
It's where my daughters are supposed to go.
So I guess it's ignorance also that we have with our with the people in position. Because you go to schools, you're treated like crap. But at the same time, you're like, but you are there to serve the people.
Exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what people forget. This is what we need in Zimbabwe. A top-down approach to things. For many years, for Robert Mugabe's 37 years, we've been living in a... I mean, we need a we don't need a top-down.
Yeah,
say top-down.
You say
we
top,
need bottom-up. Yeah. Yes. I hope that sounds
bottoms
right.
Bottoms-up.
Yes. So, because we've been living in this repressive top-down thing,
mm-hmm.
where authority is above you, as soon as a policeman, whether or not what,
mm.
you know, because they are policemen, they suddenly have this authority upon you. Because somebody's a teacher, because somebody's a pastor, because somebody's a politician, because somebody's a manager, or something. Even in the supermarkets, you get that dirty.
But in the supermarkets, it's worse. Pick and pay, TM Pick and Pay, the one on 5th Street,
yes.
They need to work, they really need to work hard on their services. Now, I've got friends, and I've said this many times. Last time I bought a cake for my brother, and when I took it back, and the cake actually had molds and it was bad. When I took it back, the lady was giving me attitude, and then I really stood up. I was like, listen up, I paid my money for this, I wasted my time queuing, and then to buy a not so good cake that is actually bad, and then how the hell do you even sell such things in this space? And then she felt like I was being rude. I was like, no, but you are not, you are, I'm the client. Yes. Customer is king. You need to sit your ass down.
The computer is king.
No, but they need to sit down. So we need to sort these things out.
A till operator at that TM PNB, I was airing out a concern as a customer, and the till operator tells me, that's not even a complaint. Why are you even talking?
Oh.
At that very same TM Pick and Pay.
Yeah, I think we need to TM Pick and Pay on 5 Street Mass 4. That's bad PR with them. I mean, it's terrible, and we need to improve on that.
Yes.
Listen, let's talk about this whole Mrs. Mnangagwa, because we know her as Mrs. Mnangagwa, but everyone now is amaying her, like how we put Grace Mugabe and we named her Amai Mugabe, and she became a doctor. She's now being stripped of her doctorate by the University of Zimbabwe. These things, are we the ones that want to turn Mrs. Mnangagwa again into another Grace Mugabe?
We are going to Amai ourselves again.
Amai means mother, if you're listening and you don't know what Amai means.
We are going to Amai ourselves again, which is a very terrible thing. I think as much, I understand, the First Lady has passions as well. In a work regard.
Mm-hmm.
They are allowed to pursue that as much as possible. But then the moment they start meddling with the nation, she should just open an NGO and pursue whatever her passion is. Instead of going to state parastatals and all that, and you know, start and then again you've got people now beginning to call her Amai and start giving her all this power now. Which is one bad thing that we are going to lend ourselves into this, because the next thing, she's going to be a doctor. After
very soon, Amai, very soon,
she's going to be a doctor. Amai.
Doctor Amai. I think she's also, she should be allowed to be her own person, and she should not also put herself under so much pressure of trying to prove to people. Because first of all, if you were interested, I'm sure by now she should have been somewhere. She was interested in all these many things. So I feel she's her own person, like many other first ladies across the globe. They're their own people. They have their own passions. Maybe your passion is just being in the kitchen cooking.
Or
your passion is music. Maybe you want to pursue music. Or like Donald Trump's wife, your passion, wasn't she like, no, is it Donald Trump's wife or the first lady of France, who was she a stripper or a porn star or something?
I mean, you want, if that's
her passion,
yes, go for that.
So,
you know, maybe she wants to be a lawyer, maybe she wants, that's that, we understand that. But also people should know this, let's desist from this Amai attitude that we have,
because we have another Gucci problem later.
Busy crying Amai this
for a what?
Who's Amai?
Who's mother? We also managed to talk to Zenzele Ndebele, who's a social commentator, is an activist, is a journalist, is a very loud mouth individual. And we were asking questions about who should be of importance, the people in power or the people who elect them into these positions, and why do you think titles or high positions are worshipped in Zimbabwe? How much power or influence do you think a first lady should have in a country? These are just a few questions. You are also welcome to respond to these on our social media platforms, the handles you already know, but this is what Zenzele Ndebele, the loudmouth, had to say.
Theoretically, the people who are elected are the ones who are supposed to be, you know, serving the people. But we know in practice that most of the times when you elect people with a position of power, they become the leaders, they become the rulers. Therefore, they are the ones with the power. I mean, we have heard had, for example, if you take the new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, he always talks about servant leadership. He says the voice of the people is the voice of God, and therefore, you know, he will do what the people want. But we know it's political talk. In essence, the politicians and those who are in a position of authority decide what needs to be done. They decide the policies. They decide how things should be conducted, who gets the resources, who doesn't get resources, cycles and all those kind of things. I don't think it is only in Zimbabwe. I guess it is, I mean, in Africa, I guess it is in the rest of the world. People want to feel important. I mean, even if you go to primary school, you know, everyone wanted to be a class monitor, and if someone was nominated a class monitor, they felt like they are very important. Someone wanted to be a prefect, you know, and all those kind of things. You go to churches, you know, someone wants to be an usher, and another one wants to be a priest. You know, you go to any community, you know, small issues, burial societies, everyone wants to be chair, a chair of a burial society. So I guess positions come with authority, they come with little privileges, they come with benefits of some sort, and because there is power that is involved, I mean, many people, human beings by nature, they like power, they like to feel important. And I mean, in terms of how much power and influence First Lady has, I mean, she has not been elected. She's not an elected official, so she most of the times you find, if you look at let's look in countries where democracies work, do you really hear a lot about the First Lady in America? Do you really hear about the First Lady in developed countries? Do you really hear First Lady in countries where democracies work? Take, for example, you know, any other country where there's democracy, or you know, you hardly, or even South Africa, or wherever, you hardly get to hear a lot about First Ladies. So I mean, our country had a problem there where we had the First Lady who wanted power. She clearly wanted to succeed her husband, and for that reason she started to be involved, and she started getting positions of influence in politics. If you take the former First Lady, Grace Mugabe, she was the chairperson of the Women's League, and she was now actually online to be the vice president of the country had it not been removed from the power by the soldiers. So from that basis, you find that our First Lady was very powerful. And unfortunately, the same First Lady who comes in, she's trying to correct, probably, in a way, the image of the other First Lady that, no, I'm not interested in power, but I'm trying to help, you know, so I'm going to do charity and all those kind of things. And at the end of the day, she's covered by the media and I get a lot of publicity. And again, with time, she's going to have influence. But ordinarily, First Ladies are just, you know, president's wives. I mean, they are somewhere in the background, they help their husbands, but they do a bit of charity here and there. But these are the people that you can go for a month without hearing what they did and so forth. You just see them accompanying the president. So she really doesn't have to be powerful. She really doesn't have to command a lot of authority, because she's not the one who was voted in power. It's her husband who was voted in power, and she's just there to assist and not to run the country as if she was also elected.
So says Nzenzele Ndebele. Actually, I agree a lot with him on the aspect of the First Lady being there in the background to assist the husband, not to try to be in the forefront all the time, and to also want to be involved in decision making on issues that actually have a ministry that operates in such. Like, we touched a bit about the Minister of Health, and now because the First Lady went to visit Mpilo Hospital, all of a sudden all the things that she said are being taken into consideration. Without an official individual from the Minister of Health going to visit, investigate and assess what's happening and make the right decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got a lot of valid points right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what we touched on about the you know, the limits of power. I think this, we need a Zimbabwe to work on what we can call limits of power.
Okay.
You know, it's the same scenario where you get in a workplace, just because somebody thinks they have a certain authority, they begin to push around people who are not even in their department.
Mm.
Because I am a boss here, I'm suddenly everybody's boss.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm married to the woman who owns this company, I'm suddenly the man around here.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. So we really need to say, you know what, if you're a supervisor, you're a supervisor. These are limits of power. This way you can really extend your authority too. You know, that way first ladies would understand.
Yeah, and they would just maybe...
Extend, politicians would understand. Everybody would understand. You know, I'm here, I'm not supposed to abuse this work.
You know, I'm supposed to serve people. I think the most important thing that we need to take away from this is, if you're in a position of power, if you're in a position of some sort, you're there to serve people, because it's these people that have put you in this place. And yeah, just
even if it's a business, it's the same people who are buying there.
Yeah, exactly, you know, exactly.
So it's important.
I actually worked at some company. My first job, I worked at a company where the wife, not even the, she was not the wife by then, the girl or the woman that my boss was sleeping with, she would come and tell us what to do. She wants to give us orders, and she was just sleeping with the guy. She wasn't even married to the guy. So I've experienced that a lot, and it happens a lot everywhere in Zim, not just maybe in Zim, maybe in other countries. Some people can relate to this. And but we need to learn to serve people. That's the bottom line. Let's serve people, those that put us in power, those that actually who are looking up, looking out for. We need to be able to be there for them.
Yeah.
Stop fighting.
Definitely.
Yeah. Are you with some HIV AIDS information and creating awareness basically around HIV AIDS across the African continent? So here is 5 minutes with Sugar. That's how we do it down south,
boy. That's what they call it down south. Welcome to MTV Sugar Down South. This is Q Story.
I've always been popular. Not that I try. People just gravitate towards me and I never have to look for friends. But I'm actually really shy and insecure all the time. I'm just pretending to be cool. But I do have some solid peeps in my life, like my boy Reggie.
Hey, calm, dog.
Come on, come on, come on. It's a team sport, boy. It's a team sport.
Hey, don't
boy.
Be a hater, dog. Just calm, dog.
Come on. Yeah? Why are you always going to be the steering when I stand, eh?
Why are the defenders always hitting on the strikers, dog?
Listen to this guy. And check, let's buy it. Away, 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 away.
And then there's my queen, my Ntwana, Ibilane. I don't know how I got her. She's the smartest and the most beautiful girl in Zinzele. But she never has time for me anymore. And I don't know how to handle it.
Hey.
Dude, I'm on my way out, yeah?
Hi, Ntwana. I'm gonna see her all this weekend.
Please.
I mean, you're always working these days.
Do not start with me, because you know how hard it's been.
I just thought it was getting better. You're coming back to school though, right?
Yes, I am, but I still need to make a living. Kyubuga, we're barely coping
relax.
Here.
Relax. I just miss you, that's all. What am I not allowed to miss you now? It's all about the phone calls, all about the texts, all about the right to get the
time to get sessions. It's about the hard times. But then Ibilane came to watch me play soccer. It's been a while. I always play better when she's around.
Hey, you made it.
We need to talk, Quentin.
Quentin? Okay, this is not good.
This morning made me realize...
Okay, about it. And I realized that I was a bit of a prick about, you know, Lemon wetting the bed, so I am sorry.
It's not even about that. I just think that we need to take a break.
Take a break?
You were right. I just have a lot on my plate right now.
And there's no space for me on that plate. Is that it?
No.
Come on, you know, like, Ntwana, please, don't do this.
I need some time, you know, to like...
How much time do you need, Ippy?
Okay,
you know what, no. Take all the time you need. But I'm not going to wait for that plate to make space for me. Are you kidding me? What the hell just happened?
You had me running, falling down over nothing. Was it always true?
At least I still have Reggie and the soccer crew on my side. Some things are still normal.
So what's the plan for the weekend?
Deliza saw a couple of walls in Section 5.
Why are you hanging out with that morphe these days?
He's a cool guy,
though. Yeah, but he tastes like a girl.
So? Does that bother you?
What are you saying, dude?
I mean, does it affect you who the guy wants to be with in his life?
No, I don't care. As long as he doesn't try anything with me.
So let's say I was gay. I mean, it'd still be my boy. Would be all cool, you know?
But you're not, dog.
But I am.
Since when?
Since forever, man. I mean, I've just come to terms with it recently.
Okay,
so that means we're good, right? I mean, okay is good. I mean, I really need you to be cool with this.
Yeah, no, dog, we're good.
How are you?
How are you?
I mean, what was I supposed to say? Is it just me, or is the whole world going crazy?
I thought if I just ignored what he'd said, it would all go away.
I'm telling you, boys, they were all close up in each other's faces, hugging even.
Come on, stop.
Alright,
I'm ready. Already happened between you guys. I'm cute, dog. Just tell us the truth.
Come on, man.
So you're letting me say, man, I'm a chance.
Hey, dog. So you knew about all of this?
Come on, dog. You know I didn't know about this, bro. It's something rubbish.
Ah, dog.
Ah, rich, dog. Just tell them I didn't know about this, bro.
Hey,
tell them I didn't know about this.
Hey, what the hell, bro?
What do I do now? What did he expect me to do? I mean, all the guys were there and they look up to me. I didn't have a choice. I can't believe I did that. Reggie is my best friend and he trusted me. I'm the worst friend anyone could ask for. I try to make it up to him.
Hey, bro.
Okay, so look, I realize I messed up. I'm sorry, bro. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. Just say anything.
No, there's nothing you can do, dude.
I'm gonna have your back this time. I promise.
I take respect seriously, you understand? And you made it quite clear that me and you can't be friends anymore.
Hard truth? Life doesn't always go your way. But I'm not the same Q anymore. From now on, I'm going to decide who I am. No more following the crowd. I will get my best friend back, and my girl. Watch the space.
Hey! Ain't it funny how they smile up in your face? How the bros call you bros, but they turn like me, no? Ain't it funny how the girls show you love, but love don't mean nothing if they ain't had no hero? Ain't it funny how people do people? Ain't it funny that people don't think we equal?
How would you react if one of your friends told you they were gay?
That's how we do it on South Boy. That's what they call it now.
By talking about MTV Sugar, it will be showcasing in Zimbabwe, right, the screening on Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation Television anytime soon. Like, very soon we'll be seeing MTV Sugar on our very local TV station. So stay tuned to the Gilmore T-Vibe on Cliff Central. We'll be sharing more information on the day, the time, and everything else that you can expect from MTV Sugar. Still in the entertainment sector, I was going to say industry, I'm extremely excited because Black Panther is finally premiering on the 16th of February, and already it has had the biggest first day ticket pre-sale of any Marvel movie. I mean, Captain America has been holding that record in 2016, they had the most pre-sold tickets, and here comes Black Panther, an all-black superhero movie, coming and just taking that away.
Yeah,
from Captain America.
It's been long. A long time coming.
Right, right.
You know, since the comic book series. I mean, initially when Stan Lee and them made the comic book, they had to change the name from Black Panther to Black Leopard because of the Black Panthers in the States, the revolutionary movement.
Oh, yeah.
Black Panthers in the States, they didn't want to be politically misconstrued.
Yeah.
But eventually, Black Leopard wasn't working.
No, I mean, Black Leopard just sounds lame. Like
so
Black Mamba.
Eventually bring it back to Black Panther. And now, I mean, the times have come, have changed, and suddenly the movie is coming out with a whole host of, you know, actors. You've got Chadwick Boseman, who's talented. I mean, one of my favorite actors. She's seen the James Brown movie. He did a sterling, like, gave a sterling performance. You've got Michael B. Jordan.
And, of course, we have Danai Gurira. And for me, I'm excited because she's a Zimbabwean actress and she's killing it.
She's out there and she's got a major role. It's not one of those extras. You've got Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes,
you've got the Forest Whitakers and all this. And I love that they got a woman cinematographer.
Oh, to do that?
I mean, the director, Ryan Coogler, is a young black male, mm-hmm, man, mm-hmm, you know, co-writer, director, he's a very talented man.
Mm.
He's an amazing man. And now the diversity that, you know, a company as big as Marvel is beginning to include, you know, some of these jobs are no longer strictly for men.
Yeah, only, and women are also taking them out.
You know, people of color as well. Mm. You know, you've got all that mix coming in, which is, I mean, the world should move towards such a diverse.
Yeah, we should. And I mean, bravo. I hope they'll be nominated for an Oscar or win an Oscar sometime soon.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Because there's already some politics around the Oscars already before anything else is announced. I don't know if the list is out yet or it's going to be out sometime soon.
Well, there's speculations and predictions here and there. Mm-hmm. Nothing concrete as yet. Mm-hmm. But you've got films like Get Out, which is a brilliant film by Jordan Peele again.
Yeah.
Directorial debut, it's a horror film that looks at the horrors of racism for a young black male or a black person in the US.
Yes.
And it's nominated under a comedy.
But then it's talking about real issues and
real
then
issues, drama,
you put it under comedy,
horror, comedy. You talk about trying to snub somebody.
No.
But there's quite a number of interesting films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got The Shape of Water, this is Guillermo del Toro, you've got Dunkirk. That's
so those are just speculations, though.
Yeah, but now these are basically like the highest bidding. There's one film I've read quite an amount about called The Florida Project.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Phantom Thread by PTA. PTA is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's amazing. But for me, one Oscar that should be set right now is Roger Deakins' Oscar for Best Cinematography.
Hopefully, though.
He's a master. Roger Deakins is a master. He's given us some of the most beautiful, almost all the most beautiful working film that is there in Hollywood right now. Roger Deakins, and yet he's never won an Oscar.
But you know, the Oscars are like a secret society. You're going to have to know somebody. You're going to have to pay
maybe
somebody.
Maybe he was like, you know
that.
What? I'm not secret society.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're giving you an Oscar.
But listen, do you actually need, because remember we spoke about awards some time back.
Mm-hmm.
Do we actually need these awards to sort of like certify our work? For example, we're talking about the Black Panther. So would we call it like, oh, the movie when it has won an Oscar or one of those awards?
Well, it's a two-way stream. It's both and nothing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a movie winning an Oscar, depending on which Oscar it won,
mm-hmm,
best director or best actor, best actress,
yes,
that's a lot. That's like a huge boost.
But I hear
for the director, the actor, the actress,
mm-hmm,
it's huge. This is where the big money starts coming in.
But then I also hear, I read somewhere that there's an Oscar spell. Once an actor or an actress like Halle Berry gets to win an Oscar, there's like a spell around them. No one else wants to work with them because they're already way highly ranked.
But
so,
it depends. We can't say no one else because you've got films like Star Wars putting billions of dollars to make that one film.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I didn't like the one that I watched recently.
How many Star Wars films have you watched?
Maybe two.
Yeah, you should shut up.
No, I never liked it. I fell asleep halfway through. 2 hours, 30 minutes is too long.
That's a wasted ticket. You should have given it to somebody who appreciated. We understand.
Watching it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this spell is just a... I think it's just a political statement.
Mm, mm.
Because at the end of the day, a lot of money goes into film. There's all the money in the world.
Mm-hmm,
it's a Ridley Scott film.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it had Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
But because of all the sexual harassment, they had to replace Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
There's also Mark Wahlberg in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lady woman, I'm sorry, I forgot her name. She's in there. But now the appalling thing is, when they had to do the reshoot with Christopher Plummer,
yes,
no one seemingly was paid. Then later it turns out that Mark Wahlberg was paid $1.5 million and the leading actress wasn't paid a thing. She was
nothing.
Given a $80 per diem for 10 days.
That's like $800 US dollars.
And somebody gets $1.5 million.
So there's already like imbalances in Hollywood and in the film industry,
and you know that we can talk about for an entire 2 hours.
Yeah, but Marvel Studios has been doing an incredible job, because we've got Wonder Woman that is
Wonder Woman. No, but Wonder Woman is not Marvel. Don't be ignorant.
Wasn't it on Marvel?
That's DC Comics.
No ways. Yes, oh, okay. So why did I think?
No, yeah, you've got a film buff here.
Actually, it's DC. Yes, it's DC. Comics, but I mean, still, Wonder Woman was like a woman dead, whatever. They did such an incredible job with
very
it.
Very much.
And I mean, even she went on to act on that. What's it called? The Legacy. What is it called?
What Legacy?
No, the movie that had all the superheroes.
What are their names?
There was Wonder Woman, there was Batman, there was
Cyclops.
There was a first guy.
The Flash.
What is the movie called?
Superman. I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it?
I know what the movie is called. I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it?
Yes.
But anyway, that's it. I mean, all the best to Danai Gurira, our Zimbabwean sister. We really wish you all the best in Hollywood. And we hope maybe we can work with you sometime when you come back to Zimbabwe. We hope to have more of you being produced from Zimbabwe.
Let's not ruin the life. It's okay. You know, doing The Walking Dead, doing Black Panther. Just keep her there.
We should
keep
her.
Let's not ruin her. The next thing she comes here, you want to give her a farm. You want her to start.
We'll give her 50,000. Sorry.
No, let's not spoil a successful someone already.
You know what? Thank you so much for listening to the Gilmore Tea Vibe here on Cliff Central. Be a part of the conversation, and we would love to hear from you all the time. The hashtag is GTWE Vibe, and our Twitter handles are at cliffcentral.com, at Gilmore TWE, and at Umelapi. But before we shut down, Zimbabwean telecoms, media, and financial service tycoon Strive Masiwa is now worth $1.7 billion and is ranked at 14 in Africa on the Forbes list, meaning he's the only Zimbabwean billionaire on the Forbes list.
That's something huge.
That's something huge, yeah.
Very huge.
So congrats to him. Very
positive.
Positive
lesson to Zimbabwean, young Zimbabwean children coming up and one dreaming big and thinking it could be impossible. That's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he's on the list, the same list with Dangote, who's number one, and he's worth $12.2 billion.
Dangote's got that long oil money.
He's got so much money. He has so much money.
And where is this Sundowns dude?
Which one is that? What's his name? Because there's a South African who's on the list called Nicky Oppenheimer, who's worth $7.7 billion.
There should be another South African as well.
There's an Angolan, there's a Nigerian. Again, obviously Nigerians have got, they're everywhere on the list.
Yes.
They should be. I need to check out the entire list, but I mean, we're saying bravo to all these people that are listed there. It's a good milestone, I guess.
Yeah.
We want money from them.
It is, definitely. We want money.
They should give us money.
They should give us
money. So what are the expectations then? You know, Zimbabweans always expect something. What are the expectations?
You know, doling out free airtime.
But they've been stealing our airtime, sorry.
That's how you got to that 1 billion.
They've been stealing our airtime, and by the way, Econet is not the most, you know, pleasant service provider to work with.
No. I think people are living in the luxury of Net One being a charity organization, you know. They're not going to
that's
be
why
billionaires.
They're not, that's why they're
that's
not billionaires.
That's why they're not billionaires.
So you need to learn to steal. Please, be like Strive Masiwa. Learn to steal money from people. Especially airtime. Right, we have to shut down the show. And Torilo, if I want to follow you, where can I get hold of you?
On Twitter. I'm really trying this Twitter thing now. I've always been a Facebook person, but I'm really trying this Twitter thing.
Yeah.
I post like about 2-3 tweets a day.
That's good. Bravo to you.
Yeah, I see people doing more. I tried with the Jonathan Moyer interview earlier, but I couldn't keep up with the professionals.
You couldn't keep up with the Kardashians either.
Yes.
So where do you get hold of you, actually?
Umelapi.
And obviously you can find me on Twitter at GilmoreTWE, and you can find us at cliffcentral.com, and use the hashtag over and over again, GTWE Vibe. Thank you so much for listening to us. We have to go.
We have to go.
We have to go treat our flu, because we are like dying of the cold. He gave me a cold. Not that I was doing anything.
Not that we are an item. No.
Until next week, enjoy the rest of your listening. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.